understanding how you're going to hold yourself accountable to reach those goals matters. Let's say you're making life changes, health changes, business changes. I want you to remember that having goals is good, but as long as all the changes that you're making are rooted in the love for yourself, not hate for yourself.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hi, lash nerds. Welcome back to another episode of Untamed Podcast. Hey, Anne-Marie, have you noticed that we've recorded every single week since we started the podcast, except for last week? Last week was actually the first time we're so ahead of schedule that we were able to take a little break. So I haven't even seen you since the week before that for podcasts. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. How are you doing?
You know what? My answer is similar to yours. You know, it's crazy. I feel like whenever I get asked that question, intuitively, I just feel like my answer is supposed to be good.
Right.
Even you saying, all right, I interpret that as not good. It seems like it's so intuitive for us to kind of brush off our feelings when we're not feeling great and then say that oh, we're okay, we're good. And there's something around not being able to just say exactly how we feel. So yeah, completely honest, I'm not doing so great. So it sounds like, I know actually in the last week you've had a little bit of a rough week as well, a lot of ups and downs in your life, maybe more downs.
Oh, it's definitely been quite a journey this last week. A lot of things coming in from all directions, and even things that you may expect or that you're at peace with or have understanding, it's still heavy and it still weighs on your soul. And I can't deny that.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still laughing, making jokes, I feel good, but I don't feel my best, right? I still feel that heaviness through my day and through my laughter. And, you know, I've noticed that a lot of people in the lash industry are feeling this way too. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, actually, I have noticed that. It's something that it's brought up in our Geek Squad as well. I think a lot of people are going through a little bit of a rough time, and I can personally vouch for that. For me, I would say that I've been open on this podcast before about my mental health and my depression. I wouldn't say I'm in a major depressive episode, which, you know, I've experienced that before, but I would say I'm more in this like a mild chronic depression phase. And it's something, I don't know if it's the weather or a lot is going on as well. A lot of changes are happening in my life. So yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I've always admired how transparent you are on this topic. It's not easy to admit when things aren't going well on anything. Mm-hmm. We think of it with a project we're working on, if we're cooking a meal for someone. I mean, honestly, anything in our life, if it's not going well, we don't want to admit that. We don't always want to share that. So I really admire that you're always so transparent and that you really advocate for mental health. I know that's extremely important for you personally. And also you take that and you make sure that everyone within the Untamed Artistry team is taking care of themselves as well. So with that said, do you mind if we use today's episode to actually raise more awareness on this topic?
Oh,
you know, it's a bit heavy, but how do you feel?
Absolutely. For me personally, talking about these, it's part of my process in healing and feeling better. So if we can use this platform to raise awareness, that would be amazing. And like you said, I'm an open book. I love to share. And I think that's why sometimes I have these experiences. Maybe it's a silver lining that I like to see in it, is that I can use these experiences and share with others to make them feel a little bit more understood, I think.
This is great. So let's start it off by talking about just raising awareness on this topic. How can we raise more awareness on it? What does depression and upset look like? Mm-hmm. Give us the rundown. Tell us everything.
Yeah, I think that mental health is an area that as a society, we don't have a ton of understanding in. Most of the research that's done in mental health are in the last decade. And some of the most like groundbreaking stuff that we've learned, it's really in the last few years. A lot of work has been gone into understanding our mental health a little bit more. But I personally still believe that the vocabulary and the definition that we have, especially the professional one and the clinical one, are very limiting in defining what mental health is. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why it's so misunderstood. And it's also the reason why a lot of people may not feel they're understood or that something, where to look for help or how to look for help or whether or not they even need help. So just going on a little bit about what it looks like. So for myself, I do want to preface here before we start the episode, like going into the episode more, is that everything we say here that I share today are just personal experience. And I'm not a medical professional, nor do I claim to be one. So if you are struggling and you need help, I absolutely encourage you and support you to look for the help that you need from the people that are right for you. So with that being said, I'll kind of go into a little bit about my personal experience about depression specifically. Depression is what I struggle with the most. And just from my personal experience, I can tell you that depression is a spectrum. It isn't just always debilitating where you can't get out of bed and you're just sad all day and you cry all the time, which I had those. And those are mostly called depressive episode. And those type of depressions usually are a lot more severe and intense. And luckily for me and the research I've done, that these don't really last for a really long time. That's why they're usually called a depressive episode. But then there's also another type of depression, which is something that I struggle with the most in majority of my life. It's called dysthymia, which is a chronic depression. And these kind of depression isn't very obvious. And even within this, it's a spectrum. And every single person's mental health looks different. It's kind of like what we always preach in being a unique lash artist. Mental health is very unique too. It's unique to the person, to their experience, to their nature and their nurture. So for me currently, like what I'm experiencing is this like extreme lack of motivation, and how that manifests in my life and how that kind of affects my life negatively currently. It's like I am lacking not just in motivation and kind of like doing the big things, right? But it's the small things. Like we all know how much I love my self-care routine at night. And that's kind of always been the thing I look forward to the most. And it's the thing that actually helped me manage my mental health. That's the funny thing about mental health is that like when you're feeling bad, it's like a snowball effect. It can easily get worse and worse and worse because they compound on top of each other. So lately, just even finding that joy in doing like my skincare routine at night, like I can't find it. Like I haven't really been doing my skincare routine for the past like month or so. And well, friends here, so a little TMI, but even finding that motivation to shower sometimes, it's just, I just sit on my couch and I just think about showering and I think about it and I think about it. Like showering isn't a very long thing. It's like, to me, I don't take long showers. So my showers are like 5 to 10 minutes, but like I would just sit on the couch and think about it and think about it and think about it. And then also I think it's lacking that engagement with people and projects I'm working on. So being able to stick to deadline currently is a little bit difficult for me. Even on tasks, it doesn't seem very difficult. And this is something I want to touch on in raising awareness. I think the reason why there's so much stigma around mental health is because our society has formed a certain type of unspoken rules of what it means to be a productive human being.
Right.
What it means to be a successful entrepreneur. And then whenever we kind of step away from those norms, a lot of feeling, unpleasant feeling sets in. And so for me, I'm very fortunate to have such a supportive team because we are all advocates of mental health, whether or not we experience it ourselves or because there's people in our life that we care about. But mental health is a topic that gets talked about a lot in the UA internal team. So because of this, you guys have been more than understanding towards me, and that's really helped me a lot. But I know when I was used to be a lash artist, it would just be like, if you ask me at any given time, how are you feeling? I wouldn't say, oh, I'm sad or I feel any particular way of upset, because I still, like you said earlier, right? I still make jokes, I still laugh, and
right,
I still feel like my normal self, but it's just when it comes to doing that gets really hard. So when I was a lash artist, what I struggle with is posting consistently. There's a lot of pressure in consistency being the direct result of your business. So I struggle with posting consistently. I sometimes struggle with, I know it's bad when my clients would cancel appointments and I would chair and I would get so happy. And right, I was just like, right. Yes.
Oh, I've been there.
It's like, yeah, it's like, oh, yes, I don't have to show up today.
Right.
But then the guilt of not making money sinks in and all of that. So I think what I really wanted to emphasize here for our listener is that mental health isn't a negative thing. Being a human is complex, and feeling feelings, it's a range of feelings from
right,
anger, sadness, pleasantness, joy, excitement, fear, all of it is all part of the puzzle of being a human being. But our society and our culture, unfortunately, has categorized them into positive and negative. So because of this reason and being in such this binary view of our emotion, it led us to think that bad feelings are bad.
Right.
When they're just feelings are just feelings. They don't have any connotations, so they don't have any intentions. They're there to tell you something. And I think that's why it's so important to raise awareness. So important for us to know, especially entrepreneur, we have a lot of added pressure in it too. You know, I know majority of our industries are female, but even as male as well, like just as an entrepreneur in general, there's just so much added pressure in there from ourselves, from the perceived outside world. So I think that it's important for us to understand mental health equals mental wellness. But mental wellness isn't just feeling one extreme on the spectrum of feelings and not the other. And that's why it's important when we raise awareness, it's not putting some sort of label on it. It's not, it's understanding that it's fluid and it's a dynamic. And that's why it's so important for us to understand and learn this and know that how you feel, no matter what it is, it's valid. Even if the society tells you that there's a negative connotation to feeling unmotivated or to feeling scared or to feel anxious. What I want to do as an advocate is to tell you guys that all of those feelings are valid and all of those feelings made up who you are as a complex human being. And it's so important that we understand this and stop assigning a positive or negative connotation to our feelings and emotions and our mental well-being in general.
This is great, great information. I want to ask you, because a lot of what you're saying ties into one thing that I find is very, very difficult for entrepreneurs is that hustle culture. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone knows what I'm talking about, the post or some of the insta-famous people who speak so highly on getting things done and that there's never a day off. If you want it, you should go get it. And like, there's no excuses. Stop making excuses and just get it done. And it always seems a bit rough for me. I don't prefer that type of motivation personally. But how can we combat that when there's so much information like that? And we know we still need to get things done. So we're trying to show up, we're trying to do what we can, but we're just flooded with information like that. Can you speak on that? And then a little bit of the stigma that you see around mental health and out of our industry as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think you touch on two of the biggest one. Number one is the hustle culture. It's telling us to do more, to get more, to have more. And the only way for you to get more, it's a direct input-output equation. The more you input, the more output you get. And I think that first of all, that itself, it's not true. It may have been true the last generation. It may have been true when resources are limited, but today, I like to give this beautiful example or analogy, if you call it. It's like, if you are like, would you use a 1950s computer software to build a computer program today? We wouldn't, because it's dated, right?
Right.
Why are we using 1950s value to set the standard of who we want to be and how we want to live today?
Wow.
it's dated.
Right. Wow.
Right? And a lot of these values and stigma around what it means to be successful and what it means to be a go-getter and a hustler comes from those dated value that was once served a purpose, but no longer serve a purpose right. in our world today. So I think that the hustle culture is one of those. And for those who don't really know what the hustle culture means, what I mean is when people tell you that sleep is for the weak or work hard now, play hard later. Like, what are some of those other ones that you know of? But
if you don't have it, you didn't want it enough. You didn't work hard enough.
Oh, yes. Okay, so that's one that I would love to touch on a little bit more. I personally, this might be a little bit extreme, but this is just my personal belief. Like I said, again, all of these are personal opinions, but I personally believe that that's a very toxic message that we're sending to our next generations of people or entrepreneur by saying that if you don't want get something that you want, it's because you don't want it bad enough. It's diminishing our experience and diminishing the hardship that it is to be an entrepreneur. And when I say the hardship, it isn't even the hardship of taking risk and doing the right thing and outsourcing and delegating. I'm talking about sometimes waking up, you haven't had enough sleep and you're just not in a creative space to have output. Or you have experienced some conflict in your personal life and you haven't resolved that and you haven't had enough time to process it. And then the next day you are demanded to show up as your best self without resolving the conflicts and the feeling that has brought you down in the first place. If we somehow can remove, like I said, those negative connotations around feeling sad, feeling angry, feeling upset, feeling anxious, feeling scared, if we can somehow remove all of those as they're no longer negative, they're just in the same bucket as joy, happiness, excitement, and all of that, then you would take just as much time to process those feelings as you would to the positive feelings. So I think that by telling somebody that the thing is, like, most of the time we tell ourselves that we hear something that's supposed to be quote unquote motivational, which I have such a big problem with the whole motivational industry, the self-help industry, the self-development industry. I have such a problem with that because they are all based on one premise or one, like, I guess, core belief is that you are only good if right. you're only good when none of them tells you that you are inherently good. We have now created an epidemic of perfectionism. We have created a culture of people are always striving to hit this moving target of perfection, good, success, or whatever it is. We don't slow down and think about like what it is that we want to feel, but we are so caught up in what it is that we want to have. And if we neglect our feelings, see, the thing is, my favorite person in the world, Brené Brown, she does a lot of work around study of shame and vulnerability. And she always say that you can't feel joy without feeling sadness. You can't feel love without feeling pain because we don't get to cherry pick. They come, our emotions are like those variety packs on Halloween.
Oh.
You can't just say, I like coffee crisp, but I don't like M&M. Because if I can do that,
right?
Let me just say, I don't want M&M. But they are a variety packs because unfortunately, we don't get a specific, if I only like coffee crisp, then I only get coffee crisp because there's no marketing department in our emotion that's just regulating this and just say, oh, these are good. Let's just give you only these and these aren't good. So let's take away that. So I think the sooner we accept that and the sooner we acknowledge that, the more at peace you're going to feel, the more grace you're going to feel towards yourself. And so I think to combat that, that was one of your question, right? Is how to combat these influx of right. motivational speaker coming into your feed or your brain, right? I think what we need to do is to take these message and then evaluate them against our own values and how we want to feel in life. And then ask yourself, do you feel at your core that is a deep alignment, what these messages are telling you? Do you feel in your core that you could be a human being that will never struggle, that will never one day wake up and just don't want to show up today? Is that at the core of who you are as a human being? Or are you, this is what I want you guys to do, is investigate the voices in your head. Are they kind? Are they loving? Mm-hmm. And are they compassionate? Or are they authoritative? Are they controlling or like a drill sergeant in your head. At any time you catch yourself thinking, if I get this, then I will be good. If I do this, then I will be good. Pause, because I want you to remember this, and I'm going to say it again. You are inherently good. You're not good until you. You're not good if you. You're just good. You're good if you don't want to show up and do your Instagram post tomorrow. You're good if you don't want to take any more clients. You're also good if you want to grow a brand, and you are good for saying no, and you're good for saying yes. So I think this is something, if I can have one North Star and help me filter out the noise and filter out these maybe dated or junk values, is this filter. It's believing you're inherently good, and then run every one of these message and value through that filter and ask yourself, does this message or this value that is imposing on me telling me that I'm inherently good? Or is this telling me
I like that
I'm good if?
That's great. Wow. Over here with chills on it. That's so good. What I'm realizing from what you're sharing is, number one, I love your handle at A Good Enough Human. So I'm just going to drop that in right now. When you're talking about that, I'm like, it's true. We're good enough humans, honestly. I don't think I've met anyone in this lash industry who's not inherently good enough. And I love that you're sharing that message.
Yeah.
What I realized from what you're sharing as well is there's a lot of shame that we place on ourselves as entrepreneurs or in the lash industry, and not to mention everything else we place on ourselves. Those of you who are mothers, I mean, we're wives, we have so much going on, we're children, we have so much. So can you talk a little bit about how we can unmask the shame as a lash artist?
Yeah, I think shame and guilt are these two feelings that kind of come in a package as well. They go hand in hand. And my default feeling as a human being is guilt. People say you have mom guilt, you have girlfriend guilt, entrepreneur guilt, right? And guilt and shame are those icky feelings that you feel when you feel like you're not good enough. It always goes back to this. This is why, like, honestly, as much as I like to say, oh, my handle is a good enough human, it must mean I've figuring it out what it means to be a good enough human.
Not so simple.
Nope, not at all. Not even close. I am plagued all day. I can be here intellectually explain to you guys all of the philosophical beliefs and why believing you're inherently good, it's important. But yet I wake up and struggle with it every single day. I struggle with it every single day. Sometimes this is an exercise I like you guys to do. I like you guys to look into the mirror. Like, if you want to pause this or you want to do it, whenever the next time you look into the mirror, I want you guys to look into the mirror and say, I love you.
Ooh, I love this one.
Look in yourself, eye contact, say, I love you. Say, I am good. I want to see all of that icky feeling that comes up. That's shame. All the feeling, the discomfort, inability to make eye contact, those are the shame. And these shames are some put on by our own beliefs, values, but a lot of these shames are put on by these junk, toxic value that I talked about. So it takes a lot of unlearning, which is why I say I still don't have it figured out, and it's still really, really hard for me. I remember the first time I had to do this exercise to myself. Ooh, I was like, ew.
Oh no, yeah, I've shared that exercise with some people, and they really, really struggle with it, or they think it's dumb. They roll their eyes. They're completely uncomfortable. And I'm like,
yeah.
You are allowed to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. Or, whoa, you look beautiful today. Or, you are so smart that your presentation is going to be amazing. The things you would say to anyone that you love or care about, you know, hopefully they're kind things. You can say those things to yourself, because ultimately I love myself and I love you too, Cheryl. And so we should be able to love ourselves just as well as we could someone else. Mm-hmm. And you really can't love someone else well if you're not loving yourself. It's so cheesy, but the second you can look in the mirror and say those things, I think will be life-changing for all of you. And plus, those of you who've maybe done that in the past, when's the last time you did this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How often do you stop and pause with just yourself looking you face to face?
Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about love a lot in our company and on our podcast. And I do believe, as cheesy as it sounds, and I know how I sound, but I do believe that love is the solution and the answer to a lot of our pain.
Same.
But like, this is a completely different topic too. I think that in our society, we also define love a little bit wrong as well. We define love as surrender. We define love as sacrificial. We define love as unconditional. But love isn't all those things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So what I think the shame also comes from, and this is probably the bit that's a little bit heavy, and I think is why I personally struggle a lot with depressions and mental health and stuff like that. It's because a lot of it came from my childhood. A lot of it came from how I was raised. You know, the caregiver that raised me didn't share these beliefs. They didn't share the beliefs that I'm inherently good. They didn't share the belief that I'm good enough. If anything, they shared the belief of perfection. They shared the belief of achievement, performance, and all of these things. And a lot of us are brought up. So another thing, I guess, I would not challenge, but I would invite all of our listeners to do is also to kind of look a little bit into, this is the hard part, but look a little bit into your childhood and ask yourself, like, how did your parents define love? How did those one close to you define love? How did your teacher, the people who had a lot of impact in your life, how did they define love? Because I bet you your definition of love has a lot to do with that. Because these are imprinted on us. Humans have this thing we talked about before, neuroplasticity. We are just a sponge. You're born with nothing. Like, you're a blank slate when you're born. Everything that you learn in terms of values and beliefs are kind of passed down to us in our environment. We learn and we observe. Even babies. Babies are so curious. Babies learn before they can even speak. They learn how to read facial expressions.
Right.
So I think that these kind of shame, not in a way where, like, I don't believe most parents, obviously there are some people who struggles with a lot more pain, have maybe passed down more pain to others, but like, most parents never deliberately try to build you up as a human being that feels shame and guilt. But unfortunately, shame and guilt is something the past generation of parents learn as a tool to teach you right and wrong.
Right.
It's a tool that they just want to use to teach you right and wrong. A tool that they believe can help you find success in life. A tool that they can give you and pass down to you for you to be a more well-rounded human being. But like I said, most of the understanding of these are done in the last decade. So our parents' generation really didn't have a lot of tools at understanding the complexity of human feelings like this. So know that, like, it's there and it's okay. Everyone is going to feel it. So to help you, what helped me navigate it a lot of the times when I feel it the most is to observe it, but not judge it. Like, let's say,
I like that.
Yeah. Let's say I feel a lot of shame about you guys assigned some work to me and it's close to my deadline and I've been pushing the deadline a couple of times. And that shame and guilt comes up a lot, right? Like, it's very strong. And the feeling of I'm so incompetent, the feeling of I'm so lazy. All of this, instead of judging them, because then you just go into a loop. You don't have the motivation to do it. And then you feel you're lazy. And then you're like, but I'm supposed to love myself. So now I'm not being loving to myself. So you're judging yourself again. And then it's just this constant cycle.
Right. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. It's like a vicious cycle of judgment.
Sounds exhausting.
Exactly. So what I learned, the most helpful thing is actually to just observe it. Observe it with compassion and just be like, oh, wow, like, I'm judging myself a lot right now. Wow, I feel a lot of shame about this. Don't do anything to change it. See, that's the ironic part of things.
Right.
Is that the more...
I always want a solution.
Yes, humans are trained to be so solution-oriented, right? But the most ironic part of this is that the more you try to control it and the more you try to change it, the more you're going to be stagnant and not being able to change. But the more you have accepted and flow with it. A really good example is like understanding that you won't be able to bend the river. Your feelings are just like the river. It goes from the upstream to downstream. Imagine you trying to bend the river and then tell the river to go the other way.
Oh, goodness. I know there's those of us who would try, right?
Oh, trust me. On my worst day, I'm not just trying to bend the river, okay? I'm trying to change the shape and the form of the river too. So I think this is another thing to show you guys is there's a Tony Robbins title of his documentary, which I love so much. It's called I'm Not Your Guru. And I think this is what I want to say.
Like, I'm not your guru because I do not have it figured out. If anything, I feel like I have it less figured out because I have a lot of time intellectually understand this. But I realize now the more I'm learning and the more I go down this route and discover these things is that feeling it's a body thing. Mm. We are so disconnected from our body. There's a really, really good book that if you guys want to, it's a bit of a heavy read, but like I really, really feel like this book has changed a lot of my perception and helped me a lot in healing a lot of the pain that I have. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. Mm. And I really like it because it's all against labeling mental health. It's all about understanding and letting the fluidity of the feeling go through your body. And I think I'm learning now that I do my best when I try to do the least. And understanding that it's just a body sensation. When you are setting boundaries, it's a body sensation of maybe a little bit of anxiety and scare. But then when people respect your boundary, it's a body sensation of relief. It's a body sensation of this feels right. And we don't trust our body enough. I think people who are business people, especially going into entrepreneurship, there's a type, which is the more heady type. We like problem solving. We like thinking through something, right? But being heady makes us more and more disconnected from our body. And I think that sometimes we say this a lot, actually. We say this in the podcast a lot. Trust the process.
Right. Trust the process.
And I think it's like this industry is always going to do this to you. You're always going to see people glorify the success. You're always going to see people. It's the nature of our culture right now and our human being is to show you we're kind of like peacocks, right? Like we want to show you how great we look, how successful we are, how everything is good and dandy. And what we don't, you're not going to. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to see a lot of people that talk about the harsh stuff. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist for everybody. Some may be more in tune with it. Some may be less in tune with it. But I can tell you right now with 100% conviction, and I can scientifically back this up, that you're all going to feel good and bad. And that right. We need to show the same kind of compassion towards the shame as we do to our joy. And the only way, this one podcast I'm listening to is just like life-changing for me. If you guys just want to check it out, it's called Art of Accomplishment. And it talks all about that. It's funny the title is called Art of Accomplishment because it sounds like it's one of those like motivational, like here's how you achieve more. But the entire podcast is all about understanding shame, being in tune with your feeling. They take this approach called the VUE approach, which is vulnerability, empathy, impartiality, and wonder. And it's, I guess, the approach that they take into conversations in life. And it's all about understanding and embracing and accepting your emotion and really learning to feel your emotion. Actually, a lot of us, for a long time, I thought like, I love talking about feeling. I must be so in touch with my feelings. It's because I think that talking about your feelings and feeling your feeling is a very different thing. But
oh, true.
Yeah, like you can talk about it, but that doesn't mean that you physically right. feel it and let it pass. And even in this podcast, it talks so much about like, feel the anger you feel the frustration. How many times is like another, I guess, stigma or toxic thing that we see in our industry is that even the times we talk about the struggle, we talk it about it with so much like glorification to it. It's like no pain, no gain. That's my favorite thing that I hear all the time. It's no pain, no gain. And then, but no one ever talks about, but they talk about pain as a cause and effect. It's like, it's necessary and mandatory for you to experience this. So when it comes, just know that it's part of eating shit before you become successful. Gary Vee talks about this all the time.
Right.
It's like eat shit for a year, eat shit for 2 years. Then you will have the success that you want. But like, if I have to eat shit, can I at least complain about the shit? How bad it smells? How shitty it tastes? Like, see, we don't do that.
Right. Goodness.
Because we paint everything with this brush of optimism. Everything. Like, it's because this is inherent positive and negative to think. But if we remove that, we wouldn't have to. So I think that's another thing is know that in this industry, you're not going to hear a lot of these candid conversation about the struggle. You're not going to hear about a girl that tried her hardest for 2-3 years and just never be able to build a full book of clients. And mm-hmm. therefore, she has to go back to her 9-to-5 job. It's not a great story.
Right. These stories exist, but yeah, no one talks about it.
Yep. It's because it's not a story that can motivate you and inspire you. And, you know, I don't obviously wish people have more failures and openly share about them, but I wish us just know that we just intellectually understand that there's a disproportionate of representation in our social media. Just understand that intellectually it's good enough to just know that for every success story that you see, there's also unsuccessful story that you see that don't pan out, things that don't pan out, and know that like, don't constantly chase yourself with this drill sergeant mentality to achieve the success that you see on social media. But instead, know that if you fail, and that's okay too. If you want to give up, that's okay too. You know, the entire point of this is just know to show yourself love, self-love and self-acceptance. Because once you're able to do that, from all these, my personal experience and talking to others, I've noticed that when you're able to do that, the money comes. The success comes, the connection comes, the things that you want most comes when you're not trying to chase it so hard with all of these unrealistic expectation of perfection on yourself.
Well, that's all really good. I know you mentioned a few things that we can listen to, we can read, we can try in the mirror, but are there any other tools or things that you want to mention that we can look into to kind of help us on this journey?
I think one of the most important tools that we need to cultivate as definitely an entrepreneur, especially solo entrepreneur, which is a lot of makes up 80% of our industry, is to build a support system. Build a really strong support system that understands these values of yours. Build a support system that isn't just going to tell you when you're not feeling good. Or when you're failing that like, oh, just get up and do it again. But somebody that can hold space for you and just be like, oh man, it's been tough lately, huh? Do you want to talk about it? What are you struggling with? Somebody who build a support system that aligns with the values that you want for yourself that can help you in the times that you need. That's probably the most important thing because it's a huge difference for me when I have a team that really understands and supports me versus a team that I wasn't able to be authentic with. I was actually extremely depressed when I had the wrong team that wasn't the right support system for me. That was the depressive episode, debilitating, not being able to go to work, like super scared to go to work and stuff. So support system is the number one thing. And then number two thing is I think it's learning or understanding that self-love and self-acceptance is a learnable skill, but take it slow, one step at a time. And just like one of the things I'm finding really helpful that's helping me kind of come out of this phase right now is to make one loving commitment to myself a month and then try to stick to it as much as I can, but never have the expectation of perfection. Previously, what I would do is like, you know, I know I'm down in a dump. Then I'm like, okay, I'm going to drink lots of water a day. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to journal. I'm going to do all these things because list A to Z is what helps me feel good. So I'm going to do all of it. But remember, I'm not chasing myself with love. I'm chasing myself with perfection again. So I think that's another thing that's really important. Learn to ask for help. And I'm not just talking about help. You don't always need help as in like you were saying earlier. Sometimes you're not in the space to talk about it. What I mean is asking for help is like, let's say if you're a mother and you have your business and you have to run your business, learn to ask help from your husband. Just say that I really need some time to just kind of de-stress and just be with myself and just whatever think about my business. Do you mind taking care of the kids for the day? Learning asking for help from your employees. Like let's say if you have a studio and you're drowned in the work that you have to do. Because being like a boss, especially, we have this mindset of no one can do it better than us. So learning to ask for help in that sense and trusting that your support system can be there to help you, because sometimes it's an emotional support we need, but sometimes it's literal things that we just need done for us.
Oh my gosh, so much so.
Like hiring a house cleaner so that you don't feel as well overwhelmed.
Right.
I don't know what I would do without Sarah in my life, but know when you want to ask for these help, notice the voices that comes up. I bet a lot of us, because I know I go through this, it's the voices of judgment and shame.
Right.
You can do this yourself. If you have to hire someone to do it, that means you're lazy or you're incapable, you're incompetent, like all these things. Every time those voices comes up, and just be like, thank you. I hear you. I know that you're here as a your defense mechanism that I've created to keep myself safe and to help me succeed in my life. But at this moment in my life, I don't really need you, but thanks for coming.
Bye.
Bye.
Moving along.
I think that don't be afraid to ask for help. That's definitely. And then obviously there is the very kind of standard things that help with mental health, which is eating as healthy as you can. Just remember everything I say here, please do not take this perfectionistic approach to it, because the moment you start to do that, you're just adding more pressure to yourself. But just knowing that let's do as much as I can, as much as reasonable and feels good for me. But moving around, because exercise has proven to help with our mental health. Another thing is like, you know, I know I struggle with this. So I'm like, maybe just reminding myself, it's like any exercise is better than no exercise. And then try your best to find things that you actually like doing. Just because other people exercise one way doesn't mean you have to. And for me, I've learned that like, I would rather play VR games than go and lift weights. And I have to overcome that a lot. My inner dialogue about how lifting weight is so much more optimal than playing VR games, right? So there's going to be a lot of unlearning for you, and just show yourself grace and take the time. But yeah, exercising, eating as healthy as you can, having some sort of mindfulness practice. I like guided meditation a lot because I just find it helps me get out of my head and listen to someone else's soothing voice to like talk me through 5-10 minutes of breathing. So I really like the app Calm, but it could be, you know, a lot of people think mindfulness practice must be meditating or something like that, but it can also be like taking a walk, but without trying to think about your business or something. Anytime you're just trying to be present, it's a mindfulness practice. And then I think the last one is really just remember that you are inherently good. You're good just as you are today, because the definition of self-love is you loving yourself as you are exactly in the moment that you are. It's not when or if, it's just right now. And that's the hard part, right? It's loving yourself when you feel like you're lazy, loving yourself when you feel like you're failing, loving yourself when you feel like all these quote-unquote negative feeling, and being able to practice self-love. And that's going to take a long time. Most of us are not taught this. I know growing up, I have never, ever been taught any sort of self-love practice. And so that like know that everything takes time, and it's like an inchworm. You just move forward a little bit, a little bit, a little bit at a time. My favorite quote has always been, people overestimate what they can do in a day and underestimate what they can achieve in a year or a decade. So self-love is one of those things. Have you ever had those experiences where a friend is trying to get healthy and they're like on this like weight loss journey, but you see them all the time? So every single day, you don't really see anything. So after a while, they've accomplished quite a bit and they have shed some weight. And to you, it's just them looking almost like the same every day. But when some stranger that hasn't seen them in like 6 months, or you look at the picture of them today and then 6 months later, you're like, oh my goodness, it's right. A drastic change.
Right.
And self-love is kind of like that. You're not going to wake up tomorrow. I know for sure I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and just be like, I'm good now and I'm ready.
You know, sometimes we don't realize how far we've come until we stop and we reflect back on where we were. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes hard to see the progress and then the frustrations of the progress we make in anything in life, because we thought we were doing well, we're proud of ourselves for doing well, and then we have an upset and we feel like we're going backwards. Mm-hmm. But likely we're not. Likely we're handling it differently. And guess what? Things are going to keep happening. It's just natural that it will. It's all about how we can handle it and keep moving forward. So Cheryl and I did our episodes of our biggest career, like mistakes and victories. And those were like a time for us to reflect back. And actually in the podcast notes of those episodes, we put questions for you to reflect back on your career. But try to think of questions to reflect back on your journey of where you're at right now. And if you're reflecting back and you feel like you're in a tougher spot now than in the past, it's part of your journey. Don't take it too hard. Show yourself some grace and kindness and continue on, because you should be so proud of yourself for all that you've done. And I know that I'm proud of everyone with their accomplishments and those stories that Cheryl's mentioning, like the salons that tried really hard and they had to shut down, or they had to go back to their 9-to-5 that did not feed their soul. You know, those stories, I'm still proud of everyone who has shared those stories with me over the years mm-hmm. for trying, for going after something that they thought aligned with them, that was a dream, something that they wanted to try. It's truly admirable to me.
Yeah. And I want to end this podcast with something that I didn't really mention in this podcast as well, is that it's okay to have goals. Matter of fact, it's good to have goals. Goals are great, but understanding how you're going to hold yourself accountable to reach those goals matters. Let's say you're making life changes, health changes, business changes. I want you to remember that having goals is good, but as long as all the changes that you're making are rooted in the love for yourself, not hate for yourself. And if you want to be successful and let's say make six figure because you believe that you are capable and you're a great artist and you deserve to get paid that much, great. But if you think that you have to make six figure because if you don't, then you're less than, then you are not successful, then you won't be loved, that you won't be recognized, then that's rooted in the hate for yourself. So I want to remind you guys that make those changes, achieve those goals, strive for it. But just make sure that they're rooted in the love for yourself. And then also to just convince those logical artists out there a little bit more, because Anne-Marie and I are those type. I want to tell you that invest in the time and energy to do it this way that we have suggested today, because what is there to lose? You have done it the other way. Maybe the other way hasn't shown you the success that you want. Let's try it this way with a curiosity and not expecting it to work out. But I can almost guarantee you that trying in this way and doing it a way where it's rooted in kindness and love for yourself, you are going to see more success. It's just historically has always worked out this way. You're not going to see more failure because you've decided to be kinder and more compassionate towards yourself. So I guess my last ending message to you guys is that I want you guys to know that you are inherently good.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.